Welcome to the Retirement Risk Show, the best retirement interviews and advice with Dave Hall. Learn strategies to help you reduce and even eliminate the risks facing your retirement.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name's Dave Hall. As always, I am so excited to be back with everyone talking about that longest self-imposed period of unemployment most of us will have in our lifetime. It could be 10 years, could be 20. Heck, it might even be 30 or 40. It is what we call retirement. If you are looking to get yourself safely through that period of time, all you have to do is go to my website, retirementriskadvisors.com. Here you'll be able to get access to all my webinars, the tools, the research that we've done, everything that we've put together to help you better understand the choices and decisions that you've got to make during this period of time. Very excited today to be able to have with me Dr. Patrice Jenkins. She's going to be here to talk a little bit about a different phase of retirement. Oftentimes we get into the finances, sometimes even some of the emotional things that happen over time. But what we wanted to talk about today is really entering into retirement and what you can do to start day one, creating a successful journey. Now, she is an organizational psychologist. She's a speaker, an author, the founder of Day One Dreams. And she puts an emphasis on not only celebrating retirement, but focusing on the planning and celebration of day one of retirement, getting ready to succeed in a new chapter of life. She helps retirees and aging adults find focus and stay focused after a long time in the field. Her passion is for thriving in retirement, answering the deeper questions, and living versus just retiring. She has written two books on the topic, What Will I Do All Day? And the second one is, It's Still Good. Dreams Don't Have Expiration Dates. Patrice, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, Dave.
Part of my job is to be able to go through and prepare myself for the show based upon notes that are given to me from our producers. And it's been such a great experience for myself to learn a little bit more about what you're doing and your passion for life. But why don't you talk a little bit about what it is that you do to help all of our retirees get themselves into a better position?
Well, I think I'd like to roll that back to even what attracted me to this topic. I started at age 47, actually caring about people successfully making this transition into retirement. And it started when I was a career counselor and my administrative assistant was of the right age, had a pension, had all kinds of reasons why it was a good time to retire. And yet she was too afraid to retire. So I actually started writing her exercises that would help her understand what the resistance was and she could move through that. That's when I realized, wow, I really care about helping people get unstuck and moving on to this next stage of life, because it's not that we don't like work. It's just that maybe we want to make ourselves available to something more, something else, that life doesn't have to be just one chapter. And it's scary to do that. And that's what a lot of my work has focused on, is helping people put things into place such that that step is a little less scary.
And do you find that there are general things that most people worry about? Obviously, on our end, we talk a lot about the financial side, and it's been proven through studies that about 68% of America is afraid they're going to run out of money now in retirement, and about half of us will. But from other perspective, emotion and relationships, do you see a lot of people have concerns with that as well?
Right. Well, the two things that do matter most, according to research, is health and wealth. So as you are very familiar with the wealth aspect, and I'm not talking about being rich, I'm talking about being able to not lose sleep at night, worried that you're going to run out of money before it's all over. So that's the wealth part. And then the health is, if we're not healthy, it doesn't matter how much money we have. There's a lot that really limits what we can do. So once we have those two things, and we need to focus on those things almost as if they are our work, then we can start to climb up that Maslow's hierarchy and experience what will bring meaning and purpose into this next stage of life. Because one thing that people worry about, and for good reason, is, am I still going to be relevant? Are people still going to think I'm a person of significance? Just try answering the question, what do you do, without referring to your work? I think that question is one of the hardest things for people to deal with in retirement.
It's been very interesting for me in my life. I've got 8 children now. You may or may not know that. Most of the listeners know by this point, but 6 biological children. And that was one of my concerns, having so many kids around. My youngest at the time was 13, and I'm going, what am I going to do? you know, here I'm in a situation where I've had kids around. Most of them usually will follow me wherever I go. What am I going to do once I get to point I'm an empty nester? We did fix that. We just adopted 2 disabled children. So I'm going to be in parenthood for the rest of my life. But I can see where that becomes a concern, because from another perspective in my life, I was going through the same thing.
Right.
But looking at it more from a family side than a work side.
So a lot of what you just described is a role identity. You really identify, for good reason, with that role of parenting, as do many of us. I was a stay-at-home mom for 12 years. And then once the kids were gone, I was like, well, I guess I'm not a stay-at-home mom anymore. I might be staying home. But, and so you have to start looking at what other roles can you add into your life as some of the work role or parenting role start to become less of a focus in your life. We not only need to give value to these other roles, but to invest in them, to expand them, to bring our own sense of this is what matters to me, and not care about does this seem significant to others, to the world, to everyone else. We become more internal focused and internally validating what we do versus external.
And how do we get people to open up to this, though? I mean, you look at people and so many times we're so afraid to talk about our fears and these things that bother us. Mm-hmm. How do you get them to open up to these topics?
Right. It is a hard thing to talk about for many people because we have been led to believe the Hallmark version of retirement. In fact, I really enjoy looking through cards in the retirement section because it's so much about like a schedule that says like there's nothing to do. Like that's supposed to bring us joy and pleasure according to, you know, the Hallmark version. And so when people are experiencing retirement a different way, I feel kind of lost, you know, even falling into a depression in some cases. That is hard to talk about because isn't retirement supposed to be everything wonderful? So I like the answer one person when I heard someone ask, how do you like retirement? And she said, some days I hate it, some days I love it. It's kind of like work. And being able to just admit that it takes some figuring out. This is a major life transition. We expect people to need time to get through other transitions. With each child that you add to the nest, there's a transition. With going in and out of work, there's transitions. We need to recognize retirement as one of the major life transitions that we go through and to build support around that.
Earlier in my career, I was talking to a good friend that we were talking about marital relationships. And he'd used the quote saying, you know, the grass may be greener, but it's just as hard to mow. And I think when we look at it from this perspective, it's the same way that we choose our heart. There's going to be difficult days. There's going to be great days, no matter what it is that we do. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with it. In fact, I would go even further to say, in many ways, retirement is more difficult than work. Because work has such structure around it. It has what I call built-in benefits, psychological built-in benefits. So naturally, there's the financial piece of it, but there is a community, a sense of belonging, accomplishment, learning and growing, rewards. Those are things that we don't stop needing once we're not going into work anymore. Those are things that we need to find another way to bring back in. And they don't just appear when we walk in the door like they naturally do at work.
Patrice, when do we begin this process? So we're saying, okay, we're going to have this point. There's going to be this retirement day in our lives. And from a financial side, I can give people ages primarily. Hey, you should start doing this at 60. You should start doing this at 62. When do we start looking at these emotional and relationship and psychological changes that have got to happen?
I encourage people to do it easily 5 years in advance. Just as you help people create their financial portfolio, it's really important to also focus on your social portfolio and emotional portfolio. What are you doing to bank in that? So one thing is to start to develop relationships, friendships outside of work. So many of us, that's the main people that we spend our time with. So we think that once we leave work, we'll keep up with those friendships, you know, still meet for lunch once a month or drinks after work or whatever. But often we find when we're no longer part of the daily conversation at work that we're also not quite so relevant within that circle. So that's one area, is to start develop relationships outside of work. Start expanding some of the roles that you have besides the work role. Now, it's easy to say, I don't have any time. How can I add one more thing? But it's also similar to money. It's like, I have all these expenses. How can I save? How can I put aside just this little bit more? Well, just a little bit is better than nothing. So those are some of the things to start doing in 5 years in advance. Also expanding your hobbies. What are you interested in outside of work?
What impact do you feel the pandemic has had on this? Someone like myself working from home, a lot of the CPAs we talk to now working from home, and I've personally had to do some of this. I'm better friends with the guy who pushes a car to Kroger than I probably ever would have been at other times in my life. But how has the pandemic impacted us in either preparing or pulling us further away from this period of time we're going into for the retirees?
Yeah, I see it a couple ways. One is with being home, especially during 2020, when you know so many of us were home, it affected relationships. So it was in a way to kind of practice retirement, because if you're in a committed relationship, that's another whole story when it comes to retirement. You probably have never spent so much time together as you do in retirement. And in this case, as we did during a shutdown. So that was a good time to practice. What's it like to have someone hanging around the house all day? Did you like it? Did you not? What did you find that you needed? Did you have to come up with some separate goals, some separate spaces? So I think that was good practice. And the other is I noticed people gave themselves permission to just explore their creative interests more during the pandemic. I don't know if you tried to buy yeast during 2020. Yeast sales, according to King Arthur Baking Company, were up, I think, like 9,000%. People were baking bread because they were home and they were finding joy in that. Before that, people probably thought, why would you make bread? You can just buy it at the bakery or off the shelf. So we did some of the creative things that are a really good thing to bring into our retirement. So I think the pandemic gave us a chance to practice retirement.
We saw a little bit of that when we lived in Puerto Rico. We were there during Hurricane Maria. We were without water for 3 weeks and power for 50 days. But some of what you're talking about here was happening. You'd go to the store thinking, okay, I've got to change the oil now in my own car. Or I've got a generator. I've got to change the oil. I'm going to go get a funnel. You weren't finding a funnel because now everybody was doing the same thing at home. Bikes. All the kids were riding their bikes. You thought, okay, I can go get a tube when the tire pops and not going to be a problem. There'll be a ton of them at the store. There's no tube at the store. And so you did. You saw this change, and I could see where it would help prepare us, this period of time that changed our whole lives, because really that is retirement. All of a sudden, you're not going to work. You're not interacting unless you're forcing the interaction. You're not moving forward with a lot of these things that you've historically done as we look at those periods of time.
More than 50% of CPAs will run out of money in retirement, and this number is projected to grow because of risks like inflation, increased longevity, and rising healthcare costs. Retirement Risks Advisors has the perfect solution to help CPAs make their money last as long as they do. Learn more by signing up for our flagship webinar, Getting Safely Through Retirement. In this webinar, we share the top 10 financial risks CPAs will face in retirement and what can be done to reduce or eliminate each risk. To get started, visit retirementriskadvisors.com/safe.
What are your thoughts on semi-retirement from a work perspective? Now, again, everybody's got a different term of retirement and what it looks like, but are you one that encourages people to ease into it more? Or, hey, if we're ready, let's just cold turkey and make it a celebration day one?
Okay, great question. Actually, there's been quite a bit of research on this. And what it suggests is it doesn't matter if it's cold turkey or if it's what you might refer to as being a bridge where you're gradually easing out. What has the most significant impact on people's satisfaction with retirement is if they had the choice in how they go. So sometimes a health situation comes up, whether it's yourself or someone in the family, and you said, okay, now's the time I got to retire. That's not a good time to retire, because that is when you don't feel like you really had a sense of agency in that. You didn't sense a choice. So it's more, do you have a choice? And then whatever choice you make that feels right to you. Many people do choose the gradual. To me, that makes a lot of sense to have a gradual, especially if you can kind of pick the best of what you like doing and, you know, leave the rest for someone else.
Right.
But, and the other piece is there's nothing wrong with working in your retirement. So people ask me, am I retired? And I say, if I am, this is what it looks like. Like, I always want to have some kind of meaningful work in my life. and it doesn't need to take up a whole lot of my time. I still want to be available to all these other things that matter to me, but I need it. I need that work identity to some extent.
I could see myself working throughout my retirement at the local store, just connecting with people, helping be mentors to some of the young kids. And so I do. You look at it even from a financial side, it can help extend the money if you're in a position that needs it, but just from an emotional side. Patrice, one of the challenges that I often see working with couples is one wants to retire, one doesn't. One doesn't necessarily even want the other one to retire, even though they're adamant that it's time for them to get out of the workplace. Any recommendations there for couples to be able to better bridge this together?
Yes, that can be really challenging. And I'll refer it back to research again, because anything I say, it's not retirement happiness, according to Patrice. And I like that to be really clear. So research suggests when couples retire together, that that contributes to the greatest satisfaction. And it's because they have to kind of figure it out together, that they're both in this place of everything being kind of new, everything being open and fresh, and let's see where we want to take this. Whereas when one person retires, there can be a sense of when that person, especially if they're like leaving the home or, you know, into the office to work, the other person who's not, of, well, what am I doing all day? Or there can be some resentment with, well, you get to play all day and I'm still working. Or there's issues like anything that really communication needs to be built around. And isn't that what it, in relationships it often, you know, it's really all about communication.
Yeah, it comes down to that communication, and we see it with all aspects. We had someone the other day that is taking care of their spouse, has done so for decades, and you could just tell the drain because they weren't really communicating what was now expected as they got into these later years. And the same thing from a retirement side, such great advice as we look at it.
The other part of that is people move through these transitions of retirement at a different pace. So even if both in a relationship are retired, how they're experiencing it can be different. And so it's important to be kind to each other, to try to meet one another where they're at. You know, if you have a great social circle and you always have something to do and they're not feeling that way, well, don't just leave them behind all the time. No, you don't want to tag along, but have a communication about that and try to meet them where they're at. Not that they're going to hold you back from, you know, doing what you want, but just be kind.
Such great advice. I've seen it in my own life, especially now we've got these two disabled children. One's deaf and blind, and one's got palsy and is in a wheelchair. I'm one that has to be going 24/7, and I'm good with that. I get up very early. By the time we get the kids in bed, it's 11 o'clock. My wife's not that person. You know, she struggles with depression. She struggles to just want to stay busy all day. So we've had to make some real adjustments. It's been a change because they've obviously required way more work than even our other six children we had before because of the special needs they have and the consistent feeding and the lack of communication that can happen. So such great advice as we look at this. Any steps that we could give people to say, hey, here's kind of really, to put it simply, these are things you can do to help get yourself down this path to get to a happy retirement. So day one kicks off with like a birthday party. It's just a big celebration.
Well, the day one, actually, it refers more to the idea of what dream do you want to get started on? And I like linking that to retirement because my definition of retirement is what do you want to make yourself available to? And it's important to know for that day one, not so much what you're leaving behind, but what you're getting up to. So I discourage people from retiring when they have no idea what's next. So have something in place. I'm not saying it needs to be what you do for the next 25 years, but know what you're getting up to. And that usually requires work being put into motion ahead of time. So that ball is moving. It's not that Monday morning and like, okay, I'm going to pick up this great big goal now and get started. If that ball is already in motion a little bit, that's going to help a lot with that first day. And the other thing to realize is even though retirement might look like an event that happened one day, it actually is a process. There's this approach and avoidance to it. So people, you're thinking about it 3-5 years out and watching for signs of, is this the right time? Is this what I want to do? Approach and avoid. And that goes on. And that's a process. And when people understand that, I think it helps them.
Yeah, definitely. I saw it in my own life that obviously I've gone through periods of life where I've had more time than others. And one of the things that I was able to pick up for a period of time in Puerto Rico was my love of art. It's something that I haven't been able to do much of for 20 or 30 years. And then all of a sudden I got some free time and I started painting and doing all these things that just brought so much happiness. And now I'm spending my time taking care of kids. That's been put on the side. And so as you look at the transitions and as you look at these phases, and we see many of them that want to travel. Well, once you've traveled for a few years, many of them step back and go, okay, I'm good. I'm ready to go into something else and get into these hobbies and transition. And to have the information that someone like you provides, so helpful for people to be able to just assess, because I think that's the thing that I've seen. We talk about it all the time with choices people have to make in retirement. You're going to spend more time, most of people, planning their next vacation than they're going to spend making choices like Social Security and Medicare. They're just going to say, oh, I'm this age, I'm going to sign up now. And I think this is part of the process with all aspects. We've got to just spend more time, and it's okay. It doesn't need to be this miserable time thinking about our future. It should be a great time of looking out and saying, hey, these are the wonderful things I'm hoping to do for the next 20 or 30 years.
Right. And having those conversations with the people who are involved in your lives, not only a spouse or partner, but with your children. Adult children can have different expectations of, you know, once you retire, oh, I'm going to have a built-in babysitter. You know, if that's what you want to do, fine. And if it's not, that expectation needs to be made clear.
Yeah. And we see it across the spectrum with that, with long-term care and kids being expected to take care of you, financial issues, if you're expecting them to step in, just have the conversation, have it now, get it off the table, make sure everyone's on the same page. Patrice, our time's come and gone. It's always hard for me to believe that 20 to 30 minutes goes so quickly. As we close up, if you'd let the listeners know how they can get in contact with you and some of the tools that you can offer them through your work.
Sure. Thank you. The main thing is just to go to my website, PatriceJenkins.com. And there you'll find the books that I've written and a class I have that is on Udemy called A Guide to Take the Weirdness Out of Retirement. This course is really good. The content will, I converted my son's bedroom to a recording studio. So that part's amateur and that's what you can do in retirement. But the content is really good and it helps people who are in a position that don't feel comfortable talking about retiring, especially in a corporate world where it may not be safe to show your cards. Also, I have a new podcast. It's called Day One Dreams Podcast. And the fourth episode just went up on that. And the link to that is also on my website.
Patrice, thank you so much for being with us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Retirement Risk Show. If you would like to learn more about how you can get access to Patrice's tool, PatriceJenkins.com. If you'd like to learn more about how you can get safely through retirement, go to our website, RetirementRiskAdvisors.com. I look forward to seeing each of you again next week, where we'll tackle another retirement topic to help you better get through those long retirement years.
And that's today's episode. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to wherever you get your podcast. We come out with a new episode every Friday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That would really help us out.
The Retirement Risk Show is a production of the Retirement Risk Advisors. Our show was produced by Sierra Tallin and Autumn Koenig. If you're a CPA looking for more retirement education, visit RetirementRiskAdvisors.com.